time while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Hear Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennis and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite things, and they are a Tennis and Tunes.
Welcome to Tennis and Tunes.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
We are live at Broadway
Con. We're live at Broadway Con.
This is so exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
This is great.
I've never been to Broadway Con before. Have you?
Nope. This is my first time, Jimmy.
It's my first time, too.
So for those of you who don't know me.
It will be my last.
And it will not be your last. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
Any moms? Any moms here? We got hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. So we always joke that the only people who listen to Tannins and Tunes are our moms. So hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Janet. You're not here, Janet. I'm
no,
sorry.
They're not here live
she would
in the
love
audience.
This.
But they're going to listen to it later, and
yeah,
it's going to be great.
She would get Joe Iconis' autograph so badly. Oh, my goodness.
She would.
Want that so badly.
It'd be really funny. So how many of you out there have listened to Tannins and Tunes before, or is this your first time?
First time!
Woohoo!
Welcome.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, we pair wines with Broadway shows. It's a great time.
The best of both worlds.
So basically one day I was sitting in my apartment in New York and had done about 5 auditions in that day and still had to go work 3 more jobs and felt like my soul was being crushed. And so I decided, what do I love to talk about? Broadway. What do I do all day and also love to talk about? Wine. So why don't I pair those two things together and create a podcast where people can get really bored listening to my voice? So then I decided, well, I need a co-host, because if I'm just doing it, it's going to be super duper boring, because I will tell you facts about both wine and Broadway all day long.
And she does.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's rough.
So I decided I needed a co-host. And so Jimmy.
Hi, friends.
Was brought in. We did Cats together, if that tells you anything.
Cats. I saw there was a lady who dressed as a cat.
Yeah, it's Broadway Con.
That was good. That's good DIY working. We should have used that.
We should have. And Jimmy, I have to introduce our guests.
Yes, why are we talking about us?
They are so incredible, and we are so lucky to have them. So on my right is Amy Jo Jackson.
Oh, gosh. Thanks.
And then on my left is Gilbert Bailey II.
Ooh.
Yes. So if you don't know these amazing guests, they are incredible performers and even more incredible people. All three of us met while doing a workshop or a lab. Dun, dun, dun. a workshop of Mr. Holland's Opus, which was fantastically fun. And I just couldn't get enough of these two people and decided that they had to come on the show. So thank you all for being here.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, before we get started, I want our audience here to know how incredible you are. So Amy, let's start with you. What's going on right now? What are you jazzed about?
What are you jazzed
in your
about?
Career?
Oh,
what's going on?
Gosh. Well, I'm at that point where I just finished a job,
yes.
So I'm jazzed about how well that went.
Yay!
I just did Fun Home up in Boston at Speakeasy Stage, which was like the most incredible, like everything you hope Fun Home would be, it was that and then more. And it was really successful for that theater, so we're actually remounting it at the end of their season in June. So I'm looking very much forward to that, and in the meantime doing like a lot of concert gigs. I'm also a dialect coach, and I work on Kinky Boots, so we're putting more people into that, and then we'll close that in April, so it's kind of like a big spring, but...
You know what I'm jazzed about, Amy?
What?
These earrings, these Ava Bowie earrings.
I hoped you'd notice.
Yeah, they
Amy
are super cool.
Is an incredible performer, not only in shows, but her cabaret performances are insane. So if you ever get a chance to see her at Studio 54 or whatever.
Or on YouTube. I'm extremely YouTubeable. So.
Yes, she is. It's great. So check her out. Gilbert, you just finished up doing Clueless, right?
No, we finished on Saturday.
Finished on Saturday. Yeah. You still have a chance.
Yeah.
Everybody, let's go right
everybody.
Now.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Clearly, I will be day junk at tonight's show. So maybe tonight is not the show you want to see. But no, I'm playing Murray in Clueless currently, leaving that from A Bronx Tale. Did A Bronx Tale on Broadway, and I saw it too a couple times. And then I'll be doing Beetlejuice in the spring, so I'm excited about that as well.
And you are part of a Broadway power couple too.
Oh yeah, my wife is on Broadway. She's in Waitress. Yeah, she's kind of killing it.
Which is like hashtag couple gold right there. Come on, universe.
You want to date his wife? That's your goal?
That too.
You do want to date my wife. She's dope. She's really awesome.
It's a great relationship you have. Very open, very loving.
Okay, well, I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying you want to.
Oh, got it.
Okay, so let's get to what Tandons and Tunes is all about. So in honor of Broadway Con, we're doing things a little bit differently because they wouldn't let me bring a wine in, is basically what happened. And so downstairs at the bar, these are the wines that you can get, literally downstairs in the Hilton Midtown, New York City. And what we're going to do is taste these wines and decide what current Broadway shows they pair with. And so tonight, while you are going out to see these amazing shows, you can go to the bar and have the wine that pairs with that show.
Yay!
Woo!
It's a fully immersive Broadway Con experience.
Yes. We're involving everyone.
Ears, eyes, mouths, taste buds.
So let us start. We have two white wines and two red wines. So we're going to start with this Pinot Noir that is on closest to your mic.
Got it.
Is where we're starting. So let's go ahead and sniff it.
This is literally what the podcast is all about.
It really is.
There are long stretches of just like,
So Pinot Noir is classified by being on the lighter style of wine. So it's light, it's fruit forward, lots of red, cherry flavors, things like that. Is anyone bored yet? This is my portion of the show.
I love it. It's also a little oaky.
It does have a little bit of oak on this. Really, really, it's velvety smooth, even in the smell of it.
Wait, did she taste it? Well, how do you guys know all this? Are you tasting it?
No, we're just smelling.
We're just smelling it.
Oh, okay, great. It's a lot of information that you just drew from that. I don't know any of that. That's great.
Let's go ahead and taste it and see if it matches.
Yeah, oh, oaky. It's really oaky.
It tastes very red.
I really, the hints of Pinot in it, and with the overall noir. It's glorious.
It's like a weird film that Humphrey Bogart was in.
Yeah,
you can really taste that noir.
Yeah. It's really wonderful. Pleasant, in fact.
Oh, it was her the whole time. I can taste that in this.
So this wine I happen to know a little bit about. This is the Parker Station Pinot Noir. If you're downstairs and you see that there are like five Pinots on the menu, this is Parker Station. It has flavors of strawberry coming forward, some violets that are in there. Again, super soft tannins. Pinot Noir is going to be your light, delicate wine. So what Broadway shows can we think of that are out there right now? Light, delicate, but still have some oakiness, still have some body to it, because when it's aged, all red wines are aged on oak. So it's done usually in some sort of French barrel, whether it's new French oak or it might be older French oak, which means that the oaky flavor isn't going to get into the wine as much because they're reusing the bottle or the barrels, right?
Yeah. So something light and airy, easy.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say Wicked. It seems like you just described, like, this show's been here a long time, you know, not much to draw from it on that you haven't seen, but it's light. It'll take you, you know. And witches and wizards and stuff.
I'm thinking like The Prom.
Oh,
okay.
Right. So if you're excited about going and seeing The Prom, it's like musical theater to the max. You know what you're getting into, right?
Yeah.
And you're excited by it. It's young. It's delicate. It is fruit forward. It is right there, right in front of you.
You did that.
Hey! Tandons and Tunes! Right?
Yeah, I would say, like, if I'm seeing Phantom, I'm really, even though they're amazing performers, I'm really thinking about the effort it takes to sing that score, and that doesn't bring to mind, like, light, delicate. Sometimes you go like, oh, God, I need to go home and warm up just after watching.
She would need the heavier Pinot.
The more noir in it.
More noir.
Yeah,
not enough noir in this Pinot.
There's going to be more noir.
I hear it. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, and what about something else like Band's Visit? Exactly. I think that you and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, has some depth of flavor to it, but is, at the end of the day, easygoing, light.
Very but slice of life.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was going to say Kinky Boots.
Okay, I get that.
You know?
Yeah.
Kinky Boots, yeah, there's depth to it, and there is, like, this wonderful story, but, like, it's also a big party.
Yeah, it goes down easy.
Yeah.
It does go down easy.
Pinot is a notoriously drinkable wine
in
my house.
Yes, 100%. Okay, let's move on. The next wine that we have is a Chardonnay.
Okay.
So.
I like her. She's cool.
This is oaky, buttery flavor bomb right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into it.
So this is a California Chardonnay. Mm. I wish that I could give it to everyone.
After this, we all go to the bar.
We
all get wine. You all buy us wines.
My favorite wine, if anybody is wondering, is gin. So if anybody
wants to afterwards,
get a fresh bottle of that. I'm down.
Somebody at the backstage door of Clueless for the bottle.
Hendrix. They make great gin/wine.
Such a good wine.
It's true. It's such a great wine. Okay, so Chardonnay is definitely classified by being buttery. It has, because it's aged on its yeast, in contact with its yeast, which is called aging sur lee. And so that's where that oaky, buttery flavor comes from, is from the yeast that it's aged with. And also because it's aged in oak barrels. And again, that oak is giving it that buttery, biscuity type of flavor to it. And also gives it the depth, as opposed to things that are aged in stainless steel, which most other white wines aren't aged in barrels. And so they're aged in stainless steel, which is not giving it any of that depth and that woody quality to it.
Why is Chardonnay different than the other white wines? Like, why is Chardonnay, like, is it a traditional thing to do it in oak?
It is. Yep. It's traditional to do it in oak barrels. And if you don't have an oak barrel, like if you're a smaller winery and you aren't Robert Mondavi and you can't afford all of these barrels because barrels are super expensive, you will age it with oak chips. So they'll put oak chips around it to give it that quality. Which is pretty interesting. Just because you have to have oak when you have Chardonnay, that's what makes it.
Do they put oak
really
chips in your gin?
No, they put flowers and other berries and alcohol. And they put gin things in it. I like it.
You're definitely on the right track. You are on the right, that distillation.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we have an oaky, big bomb of a Chardonnay, what is that going with on Broadway today? Exactly what I was thinking. Yes, definitely goes with Waitress.
Yeah. I am a little scared to use the word bomb with a Broadway show.
That.
What's a big bomb?
That's going to be so inappropriate.
Yeah.
don't do that.
Don't do that. You're a Broadway.
That's a bad leading question.
Yeah, you want to keep your job.
You know.
What about Aladdin?
Aladdin, definitely. Could be, you know.
Like big production numbers, lots of flavor, tapping, right? It's all coming at you.
Yeah. I feel a lot of tapping in my mouth when I'm hearing this.
I just think that this is, again, going back to the, it's attainable. It's something that is drinkable, like Amy was saying earlier. And I think that Aladdin is one of those shows that the whole family can go to. Everybody's going to love it, right? If you bring a Chardonnay out, my grandmother is going to be thrilled.
Amy?
Yes?
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I need a list of currently running shows.
Right.
Like, I'll help you out.
You're not on it all the time?
You know, there's only so much information I can hold in this noggin.
That's why I have all of the notes. Oh.
Well, I was thinking, like, you're talking about buttery and biscuits. I was like, do we have, like, a nice British musical running? And I was like, oh, yeah, there's My Fair Lady is running.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say, the show that you work on, Kinky Boots.
But that doesn't, it doesn't feel quintessentially British in the way that it's like, they literally have tea at one point in My Fair Lady, you know.
We need to add that. Can we add that in? Is it too late to add a tea?
Add a spot of tea.
In the Kinky Boots?
Like, take an extended, like, take out the dance break of something in the heel and make it a tea break.
From London to some tea time.
I mean, I would gladly participate in that over a dance sequence any day. from me personally, I like to watch, but not participate in a dance.
You and me both.
Gilbert, any thoughts?
Oh, no, I think that you guys just summed that all up so pleasantly.
I want you to find your clueless.
The clueless,
the one that when we find
clueless
it.
Is definitely going to be the heaviest one. It's going to be the one with the most, you know, with the weighty tannin.
The heart,
the one that really, really gets
dark.
There. You know, clueless is such a.
Clueless is the Les Miserables of nowadays.
90s comedy theater. Yeah. We're definitely in that territory. You know what I'm saying? That's people good. Begging for bread. You know
right.
Clueless.
Right. Yeah. Remember the movie?
You remember
Clueless?
It? Definitely okay. Dark.
So let's move on to our second of the white wines. Mm-hmm. So this is a Riesling. Riesling typically comes from Alsace or from Germany, cold climates, okay? Because in cold climates, we get super concentrated, sweeter grapes.
I wonder where you're going with this one, Jessica.
Guys, let's pretend. So let's go ahead and smell it. So how is this different than the Chardonnay?
It's like much sharper and brighter.
Yeah.
It smells like a headache in the morning.
Right.
If I have too much of it.
Smells like a headache in the morning.
Not that long ago, I was at a party, and this just shows you how much of a wine snob I have become in the past few years. Somebody brought one of those, like, 4-liter bottles, and I opened it up and smelled it and was like, I can't drink this. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that this is like 75% sugar and how angry I will be in the morning?
Yeah,
it will not be good.
No, I believe everybody should have something that they care that much about. Where it's like, where they're like a kind of like, no, I do appreciate that you know I like wine, but don't just buy me wine. You know what I mean? Like everybody should have something like, everybody has that.
Everybody does.
It was watches for my grandfather.
My grandfather,
if you don't buy him a watch, buy him a watch. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to wear it. He's going to look at you like
your face. I am scared of your grandfather.
You should be. He's like 6'3" and like a huge man.
That's right.
He's a big guy.
I love it.
I didn't get those jeans. I don't know where I am.
So floral, fruity, has like a mineral quality to it as well.
Mm-hmm. You can definitely taste and smell like the sugar.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually, so sugar, what we think of as sugar, can sometimes just literally be acidity in wine.
That makes no sense. What?
It's our taste buds reacting to the fact that it's a little bit different, that the tannins are a little bit different. So we've tasted two wines that have a little bit more hefty tannins than this Riesling. And so the acidity in this is going to be higher than the other two wines that we've tasted. And our brain and our tongues are saying, oh, it's more sugary, when really it's not necessarily more sugary. It's just more acidic.
Whoa.
Science.
So that's why when you are eating Chinese food and Thai food and things that are spicy, you actually want to pair it with a wine that's higher in acidity, like a Riesling or a Sauvignon Blanc, something like that, rather than pairing it with something like a big cab, because it's not going to taste as good.
That's what I always say.
So there you go. That's your knowledge for today.
Gilbert and I always say.
I always say, pair your Thai cuisine. If I can be honest, though, tasting that, this is, for me, the clueless wine. This would be the clueless wine for real, though. Like, it's
a
little light, you know, a little sugary. Yeah.
Fruity, floral, fun.
Yeah, they're all pretty. They're all floral.
Definitely frozen.
You'll be frozen.
Coming from that cool, cool climate.
Oh, yeah.
And the snow.
There is an animated snowman in my mouth right now.
Well, and actually, Eiswein, which comes from Germany, the whole point of making it ice wine is because it's picked, it's harvested after the first frost of the year. So it actually depends on Elsa coming by and like doing her thing around the grapes.
Oh, so when we watch the movie Frozen and they're harvesting ice, they're actually making wine. Is that what you're saying right
no.
now? All right. Well, that's the narrative that I'm going to play in my head when I watch that movie now.
Great. Good for you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are there any other shows that we can think of that's something fun and fruity and floral?
Wasn't that like... I was...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Head over heels.
Yeah, very bubbly. There's something about this that the best way I can describe it is like there's like a bit of a high frequency to it.
Yes.
I don't know how to describe that in taste, but there's something about that that also feels very head over heels.
Yeah.
Like, or we live up here at 11 all the time.
Right.
In the best way possible.
In the best way possible.
That was... What about Cher Show? Would this go with Cher Show?
I've not yet seen it.
I have not yet seen
it. I feel
it.
Like I that's know. A little darker, right? Like, isn't
she
that...
She's a dark lady.
Whoa.
Like, she has some darkness to her, you know?
Uh-huh. I just am tasting this, and I feel like I should be at the disco.
Okay.
A little bit.
I feel we should always be at the disco, you know?
100%. Mean Girls, see, unfortunately, they were out of rosé, because I feel like Mean Girl,
we wear
rosé.
Mm. One Wednesday, we douse ourselves in rosé. We take a bottle, and we just shower in it.
I mean, that's my Wednesday.
It's a good shower.
Okay, let's go to our last one. This is our California Cab. So, it is a smoky wine.
This is a you want to talk about Humphrey Bogart in a wine.
Yeah.
This is it for you.
Yeah, that smells
exactly
a lot
what I want to talk about.
Especially comparing it to that really light, fruity, floral Riesling.
Right.
This is on the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like shopping for wine online, say, and they're like, they have your different categories, and one is a big red. Would this be a big red?
This is a big red.
Great, good to know. Solid.
Another way to go with a big red is a Zinfandel, just because it has a lot of that peppery quality, that white pepper that gets in there. So that would also be a really good choice if you wanted something to go with steak or go with a really heavy meal. Zin and Cab are really where you want to go.
So they just sit and they like have a pepper shaker over the grill and they're just like, what is
too
that?
Much?
Just
too much?
Like, say when.
Say when. Say when.
All right, now let it sit for 50 years. Is that how that works?
That's exactly how it works.
So interesting. Wine.
Gilbert's going home and making his own wine.
That's Trader Joe's pepper.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, speaking of Trader Joe's, if you are a Trader Joe's fan, that is where I get the majority of my wine, because I think that they do a really good job of cultivating different options from different areas all around the world. Also, I am a huge fan of box wine. I think I'm like the only person in the world.
No, you're not.
No, I was a big fan in college.
Right. Well, and if you want to...
That was gin again.
Okay, well...
If you want to graduate from Franzia, which I have helped my grandparents do, Trader Joe's has a fantastic selection of boxed wines that I am super into right now.
What brands? Is it like a Trader Joe's brand?
It's the Trader Joe's brand. Mm. And their Cab and their Syrah is really good. Okay, so this is our big, bold Cab. Where is this going on Broadway?
This feels more like a Phantom wine
Phantom?
To me.
Phantom? Okay.
Like something that's like, we're in for it tonight.
Can
yeah.
Can we do the ferryman? This is only tunes, right?
No,
it is tunes, but we can.
This would go well.
This would go well with the
3 hours of the ferryman.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful 3 hours. I'm not saying like take it, but
you went back on that real quick.
I didn't mean
3 hours. I mean, it's so good.
I didn't mean it like you say the time and people are like, oh, 3 hours. But like, no, it's 3 hours of brilliance. Like it's a brilliant play.
What about? Yes. What about Chicago?
Yeah. I can see that.
Like dark and smoky and a little bit bad. Like not bad like they are doing a bad job, like bad like
just reel it in.
Guys, I'm gonna get in so much trouble.
Bad like we're gonna kill somebody and then blame it on our husbands and then go to jail for it.
Yeah,
Chicago.
That's the plot of Chicago.
Yeah. We're bad.
Bad.
Oops. So now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Wow! Yeah,
didn't know the there was going to be a musical dinner. Element to this.
We had some fun. Okay, so everyone, if you have a pen with you, go ahead and grab it. My pen, unfortunately, is way, way in the back. Is there someone back there that has a pen?
Do you have a pen, friend?
Could I borrow it?
Can we borrow it, friend?
Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
Okay, so if you have a piece of paper or if you have... Thank you so much. We will... Oh, Amy is prepared.
I love office supplies.
Yes.
How prepared are you? Oh, no, never mind.
So if you will take maybe your tent and use the back of it,
uh-huh.
And audience members, you can play along with us if you have a piece of paper. Go ahead and write down BroadwayCon. So BroadwayCon. Kind of write it down the
like
page.
Like an acrostic.
Like an acrostic.
What a word.
That well, I it was know. The it was the one that I meant.
So we are going to be playing Scattergories, Categories, BroadwayCon Edition.
What in the...
So if you are not a fan of Scattergories, Categories like I am, here are the rules. I will put 45 seconds on the timer, and you will go down your acrostic and write as many Broadway shows that are starting with that letter that you can.
Do they have to be current?
They do not have to be current. Well, it can be any Broadway show. Okay. So you have
45 seconds
to fill out BroadwayCon with Broadway shows that start with that letter.
Okay?
Okay?
All right.
Ready? Get set. Start.
What? Oh. Nope, this isn't one.
You can do it, Jimmy.
This is wrong.
I'm already wrong.
Ronda Rousey the musical. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Yep. Got to put in the exclamation point for that one, or it doesn't count.
It's true.
Aviation Gin. The musical. Oh, gosh.
You can do it.
Deer Hunter, the musical starring starring Martin Sheen. I don't know.
That was last year.
That was
2012.
The people thought it was going to be better than it was. You know, people thought it was going to last for so long.
Okay, I'm going to give you 10 extra seconds.
Oh, no.
10.
Year 2012. wait.
5 seconds. Oh, no. 4, 3, 2, 1.
I can't.
Stop! Okay.
I can't believe that happened.
So here's the next set. If you have the same answer as somebody else, then it does not count.
Right.
Well,
that's okay. How it works. Categories, rules. So what is everyone's first B?
I wrote Babes in Arms. Babes in Arms.
Ooh, Babes in Arms.
Is that a music? Is that an actual?
Yeah, okay. I did it in eighth grade.
Nice.
Yeah, I did Beauty and the
Beauty
Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Too.
Okay.
Me
Bandstand.
Too.
Wait, but does it? Are we? We're all playing together. Like
we're,
this,
we're
so
all. Yep, we're all. We're all playing together.
Okay, so Bandstand is out.
No. Yeah.
Okay. What about our R?
I did Ragtime.
Ragtime.
I did. The Rink.
Okay.
Because technically,
yep.
Wait.
So the articles don't count.
The articles never count.
When you're
oh,
listening.
That's not fair then, because I went back on a chorus line like twice, and I put it on an
well,
A.
Well, a chorus line is different than a the something.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Okay, so we have The Rink. Very good answer.
I wrote Ronda Rousey the musical.
That's not a musical.
It's going to be, all right? And you're gonna love it, all right? It's going to star Vin Diesel as Ronda Rousey. Oh,
that sounds like a sight to behold that I will stay far away from.
There we go.
There we go. Gilbert, did you have an R?
Ragtime.
Ragtime. That's right. Sorry. Guys, I've had wine. What can I say? Okay. Oh.
Once on this island.
Okay, for the first one.
Once on this island.
I did Oklahoma.
Oklahoma with
the who has the exclamation point?
I have the exclamation point.
Okay. Everyone has. Good. No, you don't have the exclamation point?
You get negative points
negative
for not having
point.
An exclamation point.
My theater professor is exclamation point on Oklahoma.
It is
or
it part
doesn't.
Of the title.
Okay, so
Oklahoma!
So that doesn't count because everybody had it. Okay, so B-R-O-A.
Annie.
Annie.
Anastasia.
Anastasia.
I just saw the, like, ad in my head.
Yeah. I wrote Aviation Gin.
It
is a grand night for singing. It's a grand night for drinking. Grand day for day drinking.
So what about D's?
Dance of the Vampires?
Yes! Ooh! A good one. Dear Evan Hansen, good one.
No, I didn't get there. I didn't get there. I didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jimmy, did you have anything?
I again wrote Deer Hunter, the musical. Again, starring Vin Diesel.
Is that like the sequel to Good Will Hunting?
How about these apples?
Okay, so now we're on Devil U.
Wicked.
Wicked.
Waitress.
Waitress.
Ooh.
Does anyone else not say waitress?
No. I put Wicked, and I think she'd be proud of me.
Wait, you're getting an abortion? Your wife's available now to date?
What's
her number?
Although I think if Jessica likes all the things that my wife does like, so you probably would get along. Trader Joe's and wine, and you and Jesse.
Wicked.
But I think she would be proud of me. Wicked is like a special show to her. That's why she'd be proud, because it only came up because she likes it.
I put Wicked.
You put Wicked?
I put Wicked.
What about the second A?
A chorus line.
Amy Jo Jackson in anything.
Somebody write it. But now that you say that, I think anything goes, and I'm mad at myself for not thinking. Yeah, but I didn't say it, so if you have.
So, here's a question. I actually did write Anastasia.
No, because if you wrote it on the second A and she wrote it on the first A, then it doesn't.
It counts.
Okay, what about Y?
The title.
Yentl.
Yes.
I watch that all the time in my adolescence. Yes.
You are not the only one.
Amy is crushing it.
Any other Ys? Some Yours Ann out there?
Oh my,
anyone?
Wow.
What?
Yours Ann. Okay, so C.
Cabaret.
I think cabaret too. So scratch it out.
Chicago.
But
I have Company.
Company. Yeah, these are some good ones.
I didn't do it.
Okay, what about the O, the second O?
Well, I put one for the silent for the second O, actually.
Okay. Once, yeah.
Good for
good.
You.
Good
for you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then the last N.
I did No, No, Nanette.
No, No, Nanette. That's a good one.
Gilbert.
I went to school for this, ladies. I went to school.
I did Next to Normal.
Yes.
No. We were just like playing the same game out here.
We're on it together.
Wait, so we crossed out the ones that we had doubles of, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
So I crossed out the
Okay, ones. So let's see. Gilbert, what was your total?
Of the ones that I had that nobody else did?
Yep.
One, two, three, and four. I had four.
Four, good. Jimmy?
Oh, I shouldn't be in this right now. I don't think that I'm now the co-host of this podcast anymore.
You just got fired.
I did. I think I got two.
Good job, Amy.
Two.
If didn't someone else say waitress, or was it?
I had it.
Okay, so in that case, I also got four.
Four, good right. job. Audience?
I have three.
Three? Three? Good job. So it looks like Amy and Gilbert tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers.
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 You guys get wine.
Oh. I'll have some Cabernet.
What? You mean gin?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So I want to take a second, kind of bring it down. This is where we'll fade in some really cool music.
Ooh. Can we bring the lights down?
Yeah,
ooh, get your Pinot Noir.
Oh.
Pretend the lights came down. So I want to talk a second, because sometimes we see all the like Broadway glitz and glamour, and yeah, we have lots of things going on at BroadwayCon about how to work on social media and how to book the callback and stuff like that. But I want to know about your commitment to personal and work-life balance, because I think that that's something that both of you do really, really well, and something that I've seen, again, like, you're brilliant performers, but you're also wonderful, caring, generous people. And so I just want you to speak a little bit. What do you do in your life that, while you're, yes, a lover of Broadway and a working performer, how do you balance it all out? Amy, let's start with you.
Sure. I mean, I kind of depends on where I am. I do a lot of regional gigs, which means I'm out of town a lot. So depending on where I am, if I'm out of town in the city, it's very easy to, like, go see their museums and explore, like, those kinds of things. And I find that fills me up. I like going and seeing other artists who are not of my discipline, do what they do really well because I'm really inspired by other artists. But sometimes seeing theater, which I also love, I'm very in, like, my theater mode of, like, oh, that's an interesting choice and blah, 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 blah. Whereas if I'm looking at a painting, I can't do that, but I can feel that. So I do a lot of that. If I am in a place where there's not a lot of that available, then I kind of create little projects for myself that are sometimes related to the show, but not necessarily, like, directly about it, just kind of to keep me inspired. I always like to have, like, I'm such a nester. Like, I like to have a space that I come home to that is very cheerful and bright, and that, especially if the show I'm doing is a little heavier or darker, kind of, like, helps me separate from that, because it's very easy to carry all that around, I find. So that even extends to my dressing room space. I like to have a lot of pictures and things that inspire me about the show, but also just, like, a lot of color and silly little figurines and that sort of thing. And then, yeah, I like to read a lot of books, and I like to go see a lot of comedy and burlesque and things that are adjacent to what I do, but not exactly what I do. I have a lot of friends who do, like, circlesque, so, like, circus burlesque. I love all that. I love seeing people who are really creative in a different way, whose brains work differently than I do, do what they do. And I find that really, like, inspiring to me, and yet I'm in no way able to compare myself to that. So I find it really soothing in a way and 100%. Exciting. Yeah.
Cool. Gilbert, what about you?
I'm married. So kind of helps to take care of itself. You know, she's really good about making sure I pull my head up above water every now and again. She's a good wife. She's a really good wife and a really great friend. But besides that, I write, and I try to take care of myself by improving myself in a sense. Like, I just don't feel like any of it is over. You know, you book a job, and that's great, and then you do the job, and 6 months later, it's not so great anymore because you've been doing, you know, as artists, we all are always looking for, like, new inspiration, you know, and there's only so many times you can say any line before you're like, I love it, but I want something new to inspire and something new to do. So I tend to err on the side of having the projects and writing and expressing myself and not getting wrapped up into the idea of a show defines who I am, because as an actor, I believe it's your job to be like the vase that takes, you know, we're like a server in a restaurant. You know, I didn't write the menu. I didn't build the restaurant. I'm not the manager here. All I am responsible for is making sure that this table has the best experience with that menu that I'm going to communicate to them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just the server. So, but in being just the server, then there are other ways that I can, but there are some restaurants I want to build. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I go off and I build those restaurants, and I don't expect or rely on a restaurant somebody else built to make me completely happy. So that's how I kind of keep my head above it. I just keep working on things that are me, because none of the characters are ever me. They're just Gilbert embodying an idea that, you know, somebody put on paper and somebody else raised the money to get, and I'm lucky and blessed enough that people are sitting in the seats, and then I go home and I go, okay, so what does Gilbert want to do today? Because I just did what Murray wanted to do for like 3 hours. It's a lot, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Clueless is a 3-hour. Okay. It's a like theremin.
You have to get there half an hour before the show. You have to stay generally like a half an hour after. There are a lot of things that happen. Ferryman, their commitment is probably 4 to 5 hours every night. I mean, it's a lot to show up for a 3-hour show. I watch also too. I like to watch things and be inspired. It's like the same thing. Like Harry Potter, I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. I read the series every year at the every year at the end of the year, and so I got to see the wonderful production of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on both parts on Broadway, and just watching the energy that those actors are expending, and like seriously at Ferryman too, the energy, like the time and the commitment and the ability to take yourself through a 3-hour journey of somebody else's foot,
and knowing that so many of those actors are in rehearsal a few other days a week in addition to doing these epic shows.
Yes.
Like, it's there's so much respect.
I pray that everybody on either one of those stage have something. Do you know? Yeah. Like, I pray that each one of them, just as an actor and knowing what that energy is to give, I hope in my spirit for all of them, for their bet, I hope that when they go home, they have something to release themselves, to get back to themselves and to get back to their thing. Because, you know, Jack Thorne and J.K. Rowling wrote Cursed Child, you know, so it doesn't matter how great you are at being Malfoy, you know, like you're still embodying somebody's thing. So I hope, and the kid they're all great. Like, everybody there is so talented. And so I hope, at least, in, I just know how I feel. So I don't want to put on that anybody else feels the same. But
I kind of want to speak to something, though, that you said of, like, you're it's not the menu, it's not the building, you're just the server, but the table's experience, yes, of the menu, of the table, of the restaurant is through you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, without you, their experience is...
Yeah. You never walk out of a restaurant after a bad meal and go, gosh, that manager. You know what I'm saying? Or geez, just the way they worded that menu. That, mm-hmm, you walk,
ooh,
out
those
of it,
sconces.
All those, you know what I mean?
Oh. Yeah.
All of that, of course, has a big emphasis on how you experience the restaurant. Like, you walk into a Red Lobster is much different than walking in the Quality Meats. That's because somebody designed both those restaurants. So how you feel when you walk into Quality Meats is by design, just like how you feel when you walk into Clueless versus how you feel when you walk into Matilda. I don't know if you guys remember the Schubert when Matilda was there.
Yes.
It was gloriously out, like, the design of what Matilda was when you walk into the Schubert. Now if you walk into the Schubert to see To Kill a Mockingbird, you're going to walk into a completely different thing, because somebody designed it that way.
They didn't just keep it?
No. They took the Scrabble pieces off
they didn't
the wall.
I would love to see To Kill a Mockingbird with the Scrabble pieces.
That would actually be brilliant conceptually.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I need to make that production
Let's
happen.
Let's do it.
They just like rearrange the letters to spell boo-rabbit.
I think that would be brilliant. But there's so much that as an actor you don't account for. Just like if you are a server in a restaurant, there's so much you don't account for. But the experience is of that whole is filtered through you. Like,
right,
the audience, the four people sitting at this table right now, they're gonna be affected by all of that. And at the end of the day, they're gonna draw their deepest connection from you. You know, so it's the same as an actor. I didn't write this line, but how you feel about the line ultimately is gonna be, you know, did it resonate coming from me? And how did I embody it? And how did I do it? You know, and sometimes you might be like, you know, I really did like the menu. I didn't like my server. That can happen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
100%. I think that's a great analogy. Yeah. Really, really cool
takeaway. Yeah.
Well, Gilbert, where can people find you on social media if they want to follow you?
Oh, you can find me by my name, Gilbert L. Bailey. Oh, that sounds like a nice title of a book or something. Find me by my name.
It sounds like the sequel to Call Me by Your Name.
Yeah, that's probably why it sounded so good to me. It's like, Find Me by My Name. You could type in Gilbert L. Bailey II in any of the social media platforms, and my handle will come up. My actual handle is II.TheSecond. T-H-E-2. Indeed. So it's kind of complicated to like just remember it. But my name, if you type my name up, you'll see me doing something dancey, and you'll press follow, and I'll be like, yeah, thanks. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you.
He called me up after I followed him.
Yeah. I'm boring on the social media, but my wife is also on there, and she's much better at it than I am. So like, when you follow me, like then like find my wife, Jessie Hooker Bailey. She's much more interesting on the social. I swear to God, she's so good at it. I take pictures of my wife. So you're going to follow her anyway if you follow me. if you follow me, you just follow Jesse is what happened.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me at Jimmy_Robertson on Twitter and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson. I do not have photos of Gilbert's wife. So, and I'm kind of glad.
I'll send
weird.
You a couple over.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah.
So it'll make your page pop.
So, yeah, you can, you know, it's all about the grids now. It's all about grids. Instagram.
It is all about the grids.
What's that?
Amy, where can people find you?
I'm at Amy Jo Jackson on Instagram and Twitter. That's J-O, not J-O-E. It's not Amy Jo Johnson. That's the Pink Power Ranger. But, yeah.
Pterodactyl! Sorry. Sabertooth tiger.
I'm a lot taller than she is. Much respect. But you would never actually confuse us if you saw us together, which, if that ever happens, maybe the world will explode.
That's I want you in a Power will. Rangers musical now so bad.
Yeah, but I will have to be the villain. Like, what is it, Rita?
Oh, Rita Repulsa?
Like, that's my bread and butter. I'm not – there's only so much, like, dancing around
Rita.
I can
You'd
do
be
before
such
I'm
a good
like,
Rita.
Really
so
out.
Great.
Thank you so much. There, you'll see a lot of – I think I'm pretty good at Instagram. I'm not great at Twitter. I use it more to, like, read and retweet and, like, signal boost people, but I definitely – I love Instagram. So there's a lot of pictures of me like dressed as an octopus or what have you, you know, from various productions of things. So yeah.
Do you have any pictures of Gilbert's wife on Instagram?
I don't, but I could start now.
Okay,
I'm just going to give you all a Dropbox link. Yeah. Just so you can open it up.
You can share Dropbox.
I think there is a picture of Gilbert and I on my Instagram from like last year. We sang a duet together, and then I like sang high notes while he like danced. What you were doing like splits?
It was nuts.
It was bananas.
It was so
like,
so nuts.
I'm going to do what I do, which is sing loudly while he does something really interesting.
I did what I could. I did what I could.
You can find me at JMHumphrey1 on all of the things, Instagram, Twitter, all the stuff, though Instagram is my place of choice.
Yeah.
And you can follow Tannins and Tunes at all those things as well, Twitter and Instagram and all of that stuff. Also, email us at tannsandtunes@gmail.com because we want to pair your favorite musicals with wines, and we can't do that without your help. So
give
make
us
sure
a review, and yeah, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher.
Yep, iTunes, Stitcher, rate and review, all that fun stuff. Also, the cool thing about our podcast as opposed to other people's podcasts is that we look at our reviews. Like, they mean so much to us, and we will pair a wine with your username if you leave a review on iTunes, which we love doing at the end of our episodes. Also, we have a commitment towards helping towards fire relief in Napa Valley, so every review on iTunes, we donate $1 towards fire relief.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, thank you for picking a couple California wines.
Yes.
I always like to do my community service, you know, just to really, like, put my money towards those California wineries.
And we're all going to do that afterwards, right after this, right?
We're all going to the bar.
We're all getting Gilbert gin.
I take stage door donations. Bulldog is not bad either. You know what I'm saying? I like them, too.
Well, thank you all for joining us here live at BroadwayCon. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Gilbert. And thank you, audience.
Thank you. Guys, have a great BroadwayCon.
Have a good BroadwayCon.